anxiety hacks, proven techniques, tools, and tips to calmness. Listen with therapist and author Kate Hudson-Hall as she chats with professionals who share with us excellent ways to calm your anxious behaviours. For more help to relieve your anxiety, check out her exceptional book, Anxiety Hacks, on Amazon.
Oh, hello, and welcome to Anxiety Hacks, the podcast where we tackle everything anxiety. So I'm your host, Kate Hudson-Hall. And before we begin, I just wanted to mention that my Anxiety Hacks audiobook is now available on all the major platforms. So if you are interested, please do check it out. So, well, I'm excited because joining me today is Nick Johnson. And he's an executive who triumphed over loneliness, anxiety, and addiction. He found solace in a 12-step program, achieving sobriety and rediscovering physical fitness. Inspired by a friend's suicide, Nick now speaks openly about depression and anxiety, dedicating his time to Samaritans of Singapore, volunteering in a 12-step program. So, together, we'll explore practical tips, personal experiences, and professional guidance to conquer anxiety. So join us today on a transformative even journey towards mental well-being. So, Nick, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you here and looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, yes. So should we start with your difficult experience and the depression, anxiety, and the addiction? Oh, there's a lot to unravel there.
Absolutely, Kate. Happy to talk you and the listeners through that. So basically, the short summary is that I've been an expat, you know, from Sweden, educated in Australia, but worked the last 20 years in Southeast Asia in various senior manager roles. With big multinationals and so on. And following a stint where I felt a bit unlucky or mistreated, I was laid off from two top pay jobs. Companies were merged and acquired and some other things happened. And I felt like a victim. And then after that, I had so much anxiety. I was getting a new job, but I was always worried about when will they terminate me again. So that just was basically like a tape recorder playing in my own head, you know, about the future. I was constantly worrying to the point where I was too worried to hold my family together. I thought it was safer that I divorced so my ex-wife could move back to Sweden and take my son there and go to school there, so I didn't have to feel all the pressure that comes with making sure that I can keep my son in school and paying the bills and so on. So that was the start of my downfall, you could say, Kate.
Oh, that must have been so difficult for you. And then, of course, not being, you know, with your son.
Yes, you know, as an expat, you're quite exposed in that sense because you work in a foreign country and your employment is linked to everything from your work permit to your residential status to your accommodation and everything else. So when you lose a job, everything is on the line and it's huge pressure. And that was what I couldn't cope with. I sought myself basically to, you know, coping mechanism, which was alcohol, for example. I exchanged my workout routines and healthy diets with pizza, fast food, and alcohol. That was my way of coping. I was keeping silent. I didn't tell anyone about my challenges. And by, you know, doing that for 2-3 years, I found myself in 2018 at rock bottom. And I thought that life was basically over.
Oh my gosh. So, so what was the sort of kind of turning point for you? What made you decide, okay, well, I've really got to, you know, do something different here. I've got to start to step on that recovery path.
Well, the whole time I was still able to keep a job there. So as I was terminated, I found new jobs, but I jumped from job to job and I managed to, on the outside, at least look successful. That was most important to me, I felt, you know, it looks good. My social media page was updated and on the outside, no one had any idea that I was going through a difficult time. And then I met a new lady who today is my wife, and I decided to tell her how I felt internally. I decided just 3 weeks into our marriage, I said, this is, you know, how I feel internally, which was, I guess, very brave of me to do.
Absolutely. To be honest with, yes, you know, with yourself and to, you know, with her.
Yeah. And as I shared that, you know, as I say, half a problem, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved. And that was really what happened in my case. And the recovery was very sudden and quick after that, because she was a human being, and listening to me, I got sympathy. And she also brought me right away to a doctor who also listened to me. And with that, one thing led to another. I found myself in a recovery program, and there some people were listening and helping me again. So it was a fast recovery as soon as I decided just to tell one person.
Wow. It was a fast recovery for you. And I think when you know, when you are feeling so down and so low, it's a very lonely place.
Yes. And it went as bad as I wrote my will, I wrote my testament, because I didn't know how to get out of it. And I remember sending, you know, my bank details, the insurance details to my ex-wife, my parents, my son. I even created an email address for him back then, and he was only a small boy, a few years old, which he still has today, where all this documentation is, which is perhaps a sign of being suicidal. I was not suicidal, but I just could see that I will not be able to sort this out. And that is the issue when we are trying to solve everything ourselves, because we don't come up with any solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And for you to open up to your new wife, she must have been somewhat surprised, not having, yes, realized that, you know, how low you were.
Yeah, she didn't realize it. And, you know, because I used to be hardworking and an athlete and running and training and so on. And most of my friends thought, it's good for you, Nick, that you're coming out a bit to the bar and seeing us. And on the outside, I was jolly, but on the inside, it was pain. It was pain. And I was covering up by being someone who I wasn't. And alcohol made a trick for me at that time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we can get to that point where we're great at putting on this big front, but it's not how we truly feel inside, you know, inside we're just completely broken.
Yeah, it came with a double hangover, right? You're out there acting like you're feeling well and also getting some poison in your body. And the next day you wake up to this hangover and, you know, it's not who you want to be. When there's that misalignment was what was the most painful. And but step by step, I managed to patch it together. And a year into recovery, you know, I was feeling the best I ever have in my life by 2019. But then something happened. I lost a good friend of mine and a colleague to suicide, a man from the UK who worked in Singapore and had a great job. And he had just been to Mount Everest, which was one of his dreams of his life. He'd been climbing up to the base camp. He had a girlfriend he loved, and he'd made social media post recently saying, you know, that he's never been happier. And suddenly he was gone, and I was just puzzled and left with questions and no answers.
How did that make you feel?
At first, I was upset and angry, and I really wanted to take action. And that's sort of the breaking point when I decided to tell more people than my doctor, my confidential group, and my wife, how I had felt, because then I was 1 year into my recovery and I decided to speak up. I went basically live on LinkedIn with a video where I was sharing, and I set up a charity fund, and I joined then the Samaritans, the suicide prevention agency, as a fundraiser. And I decided to start speaking up about it. And within 24 hours, people from all over the world were writing with support and saying, you know, yeah, I've just gone through something like this, or sadly, I lost a family member in the past through this. So thanks for making a difference. And that's when I got a lot of energy from this.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like we were talking before we started, weren't we, and talking about how, you know, people don't talk about suicide very much. And, you know, it needs to be talked about more.
Yeah, we need to be comfortable talking about the uncomfortable, and suicide is the ultimate where this will lead to. It can start as perhaps a someone who's feeling stressed at work, then before they know it, they're in burnout, and then they're depressed, and then filled with anxiety, and then comes the addictions and everything else. And before you know it, then you, the thoughts are coming in, just like they did in, for myself and for many others. And it's important we address this, I think, at an early stage, and we need to be aware about it and talk about this in the good times so that we are ready for the bad times.
Yeah, yeah. And so, Nick, what would you say to somebody that is sort of in a similar situation where you were, or they, well, for other reasons, maybe feel really, really low and they're reaching out for alcohol to be able to cope with their everyday life? What would you say to them?
Don't be scared to seek help. There's so much anonymous support. I mean, that's also perhaps the thanks to COVID. We can have a call with a therapist online. We can call any of these confidential, anonymous support groups. There's full of volunteers there ready to take a phone call or go on Zoom and have a conversation. And you, because it's anonymous, you have nothing to lose whatsoever. And that's what I do now. I keep supporting and listening to people. And as soon as you have that call, many times a person's life is already on the way to be transformed.
And I think the key there is that it's anonymous. And so, you know, just reaching out and talking, you know, how you feel to somebody that you don't know, can be so enlightening. And it can be such a huge weight beginning to lift from you.
Absolutely. And just also that sympathy to feel and hear that others are going through similar situations, and to listen to others who've gone through it in the past. That's what I felt when I came into the support program, was that there were people who gone through what I just have gone through, and they were 3 months, you know, into recovery. Others were 1 year sober. Others were 20 years sober, and they were still there helping others. And that's how, you know, the recovery system works. The 12th step of the last step then is that you have to give it back to keep it and keep coming back and supporting newcomers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, by supporting somebody else, it's going to give you sort of help you in your journey, you know, further along your recovery path.
Yes, absolutely. Just like we are talking through this today, you are helping me also in my own recovery. You know, the more we talk about this, the more comfortable we are about it, and we're turning all these the challenges into our strengths and something that we can share with others for them to learn from. And that's a great feeling.
Yeah, yeah. So Nick, if we can just backtrack a moment. So when you were going through that really difficult time, and, you know, anxiety was incorporated in all of that, what was the hardest part of struggling with the anxiety?
It was that I constantly worried and played through all these different scenarios that, you know, will I lose my job again? What will happen then to my wife? What will happen to my son's school? I just kept playing all these scenarios, you know, and constantly worrying about that. It was very difficult to sleep. I gained a lot of weight, and then, yeah, consumed alcohol in order to cope with all this. And believe it or not, but I was actually a general manager working in managing hospitals at the time. So I was surrounded by doctors, and no one of them could even know. I was even taking blood tests, you know, and nothing was shown on the blood test because I was still managing to hold it together, training. Yes, I gained some weight, but it was still not too bad until I had resigned. So, yeah, it was very difficult times, and to keep on that facade, especially working in the environment I did, was very, very challenging.
Especially, it's so exhausting, like you say, keeping that facade up.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you started on your recovery path, so what helped you with your anxiety? What were some key points that you found really helpful?
Well, as we learn in the recovery program, is basically to live a day at a time. And in the beginning, it's even, you know, don't overthink it, just an hour at a time. But now I'm living my life a day at a time, and that's really what it's about, not overthink it. everyone would be anxious if you start thinking about scenarios for too distant in the future. No mm-hmm. one knows what's going to happen. And especially also what I had to do was really to, you know, simplify my life and not watching or reading any news, because there will be always enough global news for anyone to worry about. And we, if there's nothing we can do about it, then why bother? And that's really, really helped me. And instead, focus on myself, do what I can do. And yeah, being of service to others and constantly being back there, because already after 1 week in a recovery program, there were newcomers coming in, and then you're there to help them. So getting out of myself and deflate right. my ego, all these things helps.
And how else did you focus on yourself?
Well, I had to get back in physical shape again. I stopped the alcohol then, and then was consuming a good diet and exercising. I had, and wearing some wearable devices so I could track. I got a coach also who helped me set up some goals and some ambitious goals. I wanted to really get back into the fitness again. And in my book, I call it the natural happy pill with exercise. And that's really how I felt.
Yeah. What it is, isn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah. And you've done, well, Ironmans, haven't you?
Yes. Now I'm doing marathons and Ironman events. And I'm
an Ironman. Oh, my gosh. I've done marathons, but I could never do an Ironman.
Well, really as they say, you know, it's just how do you eat an elephant? Well, it's one bite at a time. And so exactly what I learned in my recovery, you can apply to anything, including an Ironman, because that could fill you with anxiety and feeling overwhelmed if you think about the full distance that you have to complete. But if you break it down,
one step at a time.
Yeah, that's it. You know, today I'm going to go for a swim. Tomorrow I'm going to go for a bike ride, and after that, the run, and then you just, you know, one day at a time, and it works, and it adds up. If you do that over a year, there you are.
Yeah. So what would be, say, 5 suggestions that you would advise somebody with anxiety here today?
The first would be to, don't overthink it, and just take the next step right now, and just think about, and you know, what is the situation right now. That would be the first one I would recommend.
Yeah, so staying mindful, staying in the present moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Just focusing on what you are actually doing at this particular time.
Yeah, and then it's the basic which we already covered, Kate. It's really looking after yourself, your body, it's the nutrition, it's getting that right. And then, so that would be the second one. And then I would say the third one is get enough sleep, because if we are tired, and then it's very easy to feeling on the edge or feeling worried and falling.
Absolutely. Know. It just emphasizes all the negatives, doesn't it, when you're tired?
It does. Yeah. And then I would say the fourth one would be, measure what you do, get a coach or get someone who you are accountable to, and set up some small goals and improve them. So you also get some confidence in yourself that, you know, you can do this. And that's what I did then. The first goal I set was basically, you know, run a half marathon after 6 months and a full marathon after a year. And I built on that over time, and that gave me a lot of confidence, and I could feel I can do it. And then, yeah, just kept building. So that, I think, would be the fourth. And the fifth would really be if you start being of service to others, join a charity, join some organization, that would deflate your ego, and you will not have time to be anxious and worry about yourself. You will be focusing instead of other people, getting, you know, doing something that is bigger than yourself. Then there's no room for that self-pityness which easily comes with anxiety.
Yeah, that's a very good point. A very good point. And were there any particular books that helped you in your journey?
I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and there's a mixed bag. I mean, sometimes I go into inspirationals and so on. But I can say anything from Tony Robbins. I read or listened to all his books. Oh, if you want a bit of uplift, you know, when you do your work.
Oh, yes, we love Tony Robbins.
Yeah. It works. But then otherwise, one author which really helps me, and one book I can recommend is with Brian Tracy about goals. He is from the US. He's one of the, he make it so simple about goal setting. So I can recommend any book with Brian Tracy about goals.
Okay. So that's interesting because it is, I think that's a really good point about, you know, finding, you know, there's nothing wrong with you saying, okay, over this next week, I'm going to set myself, you know, five, you know, just very small little changes, little goals that I'm going to make. Because you've got to start somewhere. And then as long as they're achievable goals, which is really important, and write your goals down. You know, the statistics show by actually physically getting a pen and paper, which we don't have around too much anymore, and physically actually writing those goals down can be an immense positive help forward in addressing that difficult and those difficult anxiety behaviors.
Yeah, that's right. And many coaches, of course, work and support the clients by writing goals. Otherwise, you can buy the book by Brian Tracy just called Goals. And it's so simple. And they have a children's version of it called Eat That Frog, which I gave to my son when he was 12 years old. And he loved it. It's teaching a child, you know, basic things like making your bed to get in some good habits.
Yeah. Because a lot of it, let's be honest, a lot of the behaviors, these negative behaviors become habits.
Yeah.
And so it's starting to be aware of them and then beginning to change them.
Absolutely. We need to look out for the habits because bad habits repeated can easily turn into addictions.
Yeah. Yes, particularly with alcohol. And, you know, I think for many people throughout COVID, they were reaching out for alcohol for many different reasons. And that pattern has just, that habit has just continued. So until you start to be honest with yourself and recognize that you have got into that pattern and think, okay, well, you know, let me make some changes here. I could set some positive goals for myself.
Yeah, the after effects of the pandemic is not over yet. Many started perhaps with some bad habits. People might never have had a drink during the day before, but when you're working online in different time zones, it's easy to pour one and then it becomes a bad habit. And I'm helping already this week two executives who said that it's become a big problem for them.
Yeah. And what, because of COVID and being at home and...
Yeah.
I've got a few clients as well. So Nick, tell us about your book.
Yeah, so the day in 2019 when I went live on LinkedIn and I shared my video and I started as a fundraiser there for the Samaritans, and people started to reach out to me, I realized that there was not many people comfortable talking about, you know, anxiety, isolation and so on, especially senior executives and business owners, so in the workplace. And that's why I decided to, you know, really talk about it. I gave some keynotes and I wrote some articles, and for everything I've wrote and that got published, people came to me and they were inspired. And so many people said, you should write a book about this. You know, you heard that cliche many times, and I took it to heart, and I went to a publisher in Australia and with the idea, and they said, yeah, we love this. So that's why I wrote a book about it. And who would have thought in 2019 that we would come in a pandemic? So obviously the whole world is finding themselves isolated. And so when the book came out was in 2021, April. So it was of a lot of great support to a lot of people who read the book. And I also gave almost daily keynotes online to Zoom to companies who were, you know, having all these Zoom meetings, the all hands meeting, talking about isolation, trying to create a workplace when we speak up. So it was, I was blessed with the timing of it.
Yeah. That's incredible. Now, the name of the book, Nick?
Executive Loneliness.
That's it. Executive Loneliness. So I think, I think we would all really hugely benefit from reading your book, Nick. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. So how can people get in contact with you?
Well, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. They can look me up there, and it's NickJonsson, or they can go to Amazon and look up Executive Loneliness. The book is there, and it's also available on Audible as an audiobook if someone prefer that format.
Yeah, great. And then obviously it'll all be in the show notes as well, your details and links and things. So Nick, thank you so much for joining us. This has been really, well, you know, for being so honest. Because like we said, people, you know, find it difficult to be honest with their, you know, with their experiences. So thank you so much for sharing.
And thanks again, Kate, for inviting me. And thanks to all the listeners as well.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and thank you to everybody for joining us. And before we go, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, iTunes, or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. So thank you again, and I look forward to speaking with you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Anxiety Hacks, the podcast. If you've been affected by anything discussed in this presentation and would like further information, please go to katehudson-hall.com. That's katehudson-hall.com.